You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. It is the 20th day of June, 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today, as usual, is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. When we talked this morning, Mike, we took a preview of what might come out from the USDA in terms of the cattle on feed numbers, and those figures were pretty neutral as I see them come across the wire services.
Yeah, I agree, Todd. I mean, the placements number at 93% was the big number, 1.912 for placed in May. On feed numbers at 98, on feed June 1, 98%. That compares with an average trade guess from Reuters at 98.4. And then the marketing's number, maybe the most negative of the three, but again, I wouldn't classify it too far outside the range of neutral. As you say, it came in at 96%, 1.865 million. I'm hearing that that might be the lowest on record for the marketing's for that month, and trying to check that out, but wasn't able to do that before the we went on air. But that compares on the average trade guess for the marketing's of 95.7. So probably not a big reaction by the trade. I would suspect they're going to look instead at what the cash prices do as we get into the first of the week, because we have seen a real charge higher in the boxed beef market. At the same time, many of us in the analytical trade are thinking that the beef is going to lose out to pork come July 4th, and we're right in the midst of that buying right now and kind of on the tail end of it. So probably next week's cash market will be very, very important to how the cattle trade.
So it will be important to how the cattle trade. What do you expect out of the cash market next week?
I do feel as though that the beef prices are, and we talked about this last week, between the choice and the select and how the select is starting to catch up. I do feel like that the pork should be almost a no-brainer at the retail counter and when you go into restaurants. And so I do feel like that you probably have hit some highs for now, at least on the retail side. So I'm not looking at the fat cattle to be able to do much better than they have been doing here the last few weeks, and maybe no longer having the ability of the feeders to lead them higher. And I think this corresponds with some of the late week trade and how the feeder corn spread started to show a little bit of weakness and a reversal kind of attitude on its spread chart, in my opinion.
It says something when hogs, lean hogs, which are still at record high prices, they'll off their highs for the week, and their highs currently anyway, can be the leader, relatively speaking, in the meat case, other than the poultry, because beef prices are so darn high.
Yeah, and you look at the cattle hog ratio, and it's at 1.15 in lead month futures, and that's down near the lowest we've seen since 2012. And so you're getting, if you look at a five-year chart of that ratio, cattle in a ratio mindset are getting as discounted to the hogs as they've been in the last 5 years. It's kind of like how the ethanol looks to the RBOB. We talked about that this morning and how it was near $1.05 discount to the RBOB. It's getting down in that same type of range as far as the ratio chart goes.
All right, turn your attention to the marketplace and what happened in Chicago and the grains and the oil seeds. Where do you want to start for the afternoon?
Gosh, it was a busy close. I guess the meal market would be the one we should start with because it had the most fireworks in it. We had a reversal in July meal on reported pretty heavy volume, Todd. The last 10 minutes of trade, we essentially went $20.90 a ton in terms of a price range, and making most of that to the upside in the last 10 minutes. And so that by the end of the day, we had a 4.6% change in prices from low to high, nearly erased all of the week's losses on the close, but the settlement was quite a bit lower. One of the best daily moves that I could find on the lead month continuation chart since November of last year. So a really nice reversal type close on the daily chart. Weekly chart still left a little bit of a sell signal, and we did close lower on the week, but made up a lot of ground from that news about the Chinese DDGs.
Yeah, so the meal was leading thing, it led things higher, and that posted a reversal up in the nearby July, and an outside up in the November beans then.
Yeah, the new crop did much better. I think you did have that El Nino reversal, so to speak, that bearish El Nino mindset was reversed by the late week because of the too much rain type of mindset and the idea that these crop conditions are, and this is where probably next week's trade for corn and beans are going to be really defined as far as the weekly trend, is the trade's going to really expect a much lower, or suspiciously, would be very suspicious if we didn't see a lower good to excellent number on both corn and beans, given these heavy rains, especially in some of these key states. So that's one of the things that was nice to see in the meal market. And in the corn, we saw almost as much excitement in the ethanol market and in the RIN market. The RIN market in the last 2 days of trade was able to get up almost 50%. And this is on the idea that some traders are caught short that need to buy RINs, and they're needing to buy RINs because the excess demand or shortage of physical ethanol is present in the market, and they need to get the paper product to be able to offset what they can't get a hold of in the physical market. So the RIN market lit up today again, and that allowed the July ethanol to rally 2.2% in the futures. That kind of separated the corn from the wheat.
Am I right, or, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't remember how this happened exactly the last time around, but when the RINs take off like that, and we know that this is, I think, the case at the moment. Last week we had a EIA number said, hey, we had what, the best week since 2011 for production of ethanol in terms of total number of barrels. But when the RINs take off, that's part and parcel of exporting ethanol. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is whether it's domestic demand, and we're looking at 60 cents difference between EIA 85 and regular gas, but you hit it. Between domestic demand or export demand, it really says when those RINs take off to the market, the perception would be that there is a very tight physical market, and that those that trade ethanol, if they can't get a hold of the physicals, they've got to get those RINs to be able to meet the EPA requirements.
All right. What else do we have in the marketplace you wanted to make sure we discussed today?
Well, we did see the soft red wheat try and go higher on the week, but we could not go above the last 6 weeks' trend, and so we closed a seventh week lower by my calculation. July soft red wheat down 0.75 cents the way I looked at the settlement. So that was a little bit disappointing. Made sense because some of the quality issues in the soft red wheat are getting more and more of the market's attention.
Yeah, July was down 0.75 cents, you're correct, and the hard red was off 0.75 cents. That's despite rough weather for drought and then for rainfall and trying to get a not such good crop out of the field. So we'll see how it all ends up. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate that.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. That's at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming.